This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Visit audibletrial.com/CSR to download your free audiobook. Again, that's audibletrial.com/CSR for a free audiobook.
And by The Country Squire. Visit thecountrysquireonline.com to discover custom pipes, handcrafted blends, and unparalleled customer service. TheCountrySquireOnline.com.
We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo.
Man, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. Boy, your voice is deep, man.
Yeah, yeah. So,
it's wicked cold in Mississippi, and I think it's gotten to both of us.
Yeah, I was going to say, welcome from the frigid north of central Mississippi.
That's right.
I've been fighting off a cold and actually been fairly successful, but
yeah.
At this point, my voice, I'm normally that nice high tenor, and now I'm that deep baritone.
Right, so. Right. We got to move you to a different section of the choir this morning.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. But that's right. That section needs some help anyway. So.
Absolutely. So I apologize to the listeners if this throws you off, but hopefully by this time next week, I'll be back, you know, sounding like my usual
they
self.
They may actually prefer this, Bo.
They very well. iPhone's girlfriend might actually.
I don't know. You might get some more love from our friends in Indonesia there. Absolutely. I'm not sure, but you never know.
Absolutely. Well, we've got some big news to share with the listeners.
Yeah.
It was announced yesterday on our Facebook page, and we are pleased to share with you guys that we are opening up Podastery Studios backstage. You will actually be able to be a fly on the wall as we record live.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, so starting next week, 9 o'clock, 9 a.m.
Yep.
Central Time on Tuesday mornings. We'll send out a reminder on the Facebook page, but we'd love it if you could tune in. I want to let you know, you know, we keep the shows very work safe, you know, for you guys, so you can listen to it work. And that's going to, you know, be the same case while we record live as well.
That's right.
We want you to feel comfortable that you can switch this on if you're at your desk or at your office, that you can tune in, listen to us, and you know, have that confidence that, you know, we're not going to say anything that would make you feel uncomfortable, your boss or your coworkers feel uncomfortable, anything like that. So
as long as they're comfortable with pipe smoking, they'll be good with the show.
Absolutely.
We think.
And we've got two more birthdays to announce as well. We've got J.R.R. Tolkien's birthday was actually January 3rd.
Yeah.
So we hope you all had a good Tolkien day. And then also our very own Mr. J.D.
Man.
Your birthday is the...
It's the ninth,
right. So you actually, this last past weekend, there was a big shindig in town to celebrate JD's birthday. JD is well-loved by many. It's kind of an early birthday party. Unfortunately, I couldn't go because I was...
You're sick as a dog.
Dude, I'm telling you. I was fighting off the plague. but want the listeners to know. So January 9th is your official birth date. So happy birthday, man.
30 years old, man. Moving up to the third floor. I'm pretty excited. You know, the 20s have been hard. I always tell folks... that are starting out their 20s, if I bump into some young pipe smokers or something, I say, you know, I hope your 20s are great. I really do. I hope the best for you, but man, mine were difficult. So I'm glad to be moving to the next chapter, and it's going to be a fun season. I'm excited about it.
Well, awesome. Well, speaking of a fun season, we've got a fun topic today.
Yeah.
You know, we've brought up the subject of meerschaum pipes from time to time. We've made references to them.
That's right.
We've talked about them as solutions and smoking in different temperatures.
Right.
But, you know, what is meerschaum? What does that mean? When we talk about meerschaum, what does that mean?
Yeah, talking about meerschaum today. Meerschaum, that's actually a German word that derives from the word sea foam. And that's basically how they identified this substance, you know, I guess for whatever reason they wound up using the German term. But meerschaum is as its name would kind of describe, is a sea sediment that is found in the Black Sea just north of Turkey. And Turkey, of course, being in the Middle East, kind of there right on the border of Asia and Europe, the Black Sea separates it from, you know, I believe the former Soviet Union, what today is probably... Boy, I'm not very good at my geography. One of the former Soviet republics right there, perhaps Turkmenistan or something. But that area right there has the Black Sea in it. And the northern shore of Turkey is where you find meerschaum. Meerschaum is actually made of crushed like seashells and bones and sediment that is collected over millions of years.
Oh, wow.
And then actually dissolved and kind of collected on the bottom of the seafloor. Eventually, it forms into large, you know, kind of veins of this substance. And so you've got, you know, just kind of meerschaum veins. And what they do is they harvest this stuff in blocks. It kind of comes out, you know, it's not dissimilar to how you'd harvest kind of any mineral. The thing about meerschaum is it's extremely, extremely soft. And in the early 18th century, the early 1700s, someone, again, one of those things we just thank them for trying something crazy and,
right.
and then it working. Someone took, you know, this meerschaum and decided to try to smoke tobacco out of a formed bowl of it. And that's where the meerschaum pipe came from.
Okay.
Meerschaum is so, because it's that sediment and because it's, you know, just collected for so many years and it's just kind of all pressed together, it's a very natural or a very naturally porous sediment and substance. And so, you know, because of that, it smokes very cool and dry. And when they discovered that it was something that could be, you know, you could use it to smoke tobacco out of, it almost immediately began to rival clay pipes in Europe.
So this was really before briar took on.
That's right. That's exactly right. Briar, the advent of briar really came in the mid-19th century, you know, about the 1850s or so is kind of when briar started started taking a rise. So, but before then, you had clay pipes and meerschaum for the most part, at least in the European sphere, and you know, that's where it took off. And so yeah, meerschaum is definitely, it's an interesting material. It's very, very different.
What makes a meerschaum stand out, of course, when you're looking at it, is it's got that white
right.
I mean, it's a white pipe.
That's right.
And I mean, it's always white, right? I mean, you don't necessarily see a meerschaum that's...
Yeah, all the meerschaums I've seen have been white, and those are, you know, the meerschaums anyway that are new and have not been smoked. You know, I think you know, you can buy like meerschaums that have been pre-ambered, basically. But a lot of folks, when they see a meerschaum for the first time, think it's like a porcelain or a clay pipe. And you know, you kind of educate folks as they get more into it. Oh, this is meerschaum, and it's a, you know, this sea sediment that you find in and around Turkey. But what's interesting is that, you know, over time, because meerschaum is so porous, any pipe smoker will know, over time that sea sediment will begin to absorb the tar and oils in the tobacco. And so you get these beautiful ambering colors. You've got reds and browns and
nice.
Oranges that kind of tend to...
So kind of custom ages with you. As
no, that's
you,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. And if you choose to touch the meerschaum, a lot of folks won't touch it. They'll just grab it by the stem, or you've even got some purists that will like use those white like opera gloves to like
right.
hold it, you know,
yeah.
because they're so... They really, you know, want it to color just from the tobacco. But... You know, as you touch it, or you know, as you just purely smoke tobacco out of it, it'll begin to color. And you know, over time, it just depends on what it totally depends on what you're smoking. And some meerschaum, if it's really good meerschaum, block meerschaum that is not you know, made from any type of composite or anything, I mean, it can start to discolor from the very first smoke. You know, and you'll see some really interesting colors. Because meerschaum, you know, again, this is kind of an ancient material. And so what you're starting to see a lot of is imitation type meerschaum, where they're basically almost making like a, if you can think of like a particle board or like a,
you
oh,
know, sure. yeah.
you know, some type of, basically they're taking a bunch of different materials and putting some meerschaum in there, maybe mixing in some type of glue or something, and then they're calling that a meerschaum pipe.
It sounds a lot like a McDonald's chicken nugget.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's the McDonald's chicken nugget of the pipe world.
Yeah.
But yeah, that basically they're doing that with meerschaum, and that is not block meerschaum. That's composite meerschaum. And so a lot of times, you know, you can find very inexpensive, you know, quote unquote meerschaum pipes, but because meerschaum is so hard to find, you know, true block meerschaum is going to, you know, cost a lot.
And it does seem that the meerschaum pipes that I've seen, it more often than not, have some sort of custom carving or more artistic take to them,
yeah.
Either gothic or otherwise.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is meerschaum kind of a go-to for...
I think, honestly, it's because it's so easy to carve.
Mm.
Now, I'm not sure about that. I haven't researched that. But, you know, my initial impression is that meerschaum is so easy to carve. It's I forget the scale of basically hardness of material. Like meerschaum is right at the bottom of that scale, and so I mean, you can you can carve it very, very easily. And so I think they, you know, just kind of went away with that, or kind of went away, you know, trying different shapes. Occasionally you'll see, you know, meerschaums in very simple shapes. We've got one in the store in the country squire right now. As a matter of fact, it's a very clean, simple billiard, just a straight meerschaum billiard. But a lot of times you'll see pretty elaborate shapes carved into them. One of the favorites is kind of a bird's or eagle's claw kind of holding a bowl. I've seen them anywhere from like the faces of famous composers or, you know, political or, you know, religious figures, all the way to, you know, monuments. I mean, in the shapes of, you know, buildings that you might be aware of. Yeah. And it's just, they can get really elaborate. So it's a great material to be really creative with. Yeah.
Well, awesome. You know, while I'm smoking my pipe, I like to dive into the literary world.
That's right.
Now, you've actually got a book recommendation for us today.
Yeah, today I'm bringing A Short History of Nearly Everything by Bill Bryson. This book was written several years ago, and I'll tell you, the first time I ever interacted with this book, it was actually in 2007. I listened to it in the earlier days of Audible, actually.
Nice.
And Mississippi State, the university I went to, we were playing in the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. This is in 2007. And I remember popping this, you know, on my iPhone or on my iPod at that time, and going up to Omaha, driving from Starkville to Omaha. And I listened to this book the entire way. And I think it's like about a 17-hour book, so I probably had to overlap some there. But, I mean, it was intense. But I listened to that book the whole way. Great book. Basically, what Bryson does here, excellent author, by the way. He's got some other titles that you might even be more familiar with. But in The Short History of the Universe, or The Short History of Nearly Everything, Bryson kind of delves into those, you know, major questions of kind of where, just what humans have always asked: where do we come from? Where is it all going? What is, you know, what is the purpose of everything? He takes, you know, a very scientific standpoint on almost anything, but he really likes to, you know, delve into kind of how in the history of man, how has our understanding of the universe evolved, and, you know, how has it changed, and kind of where is it going? So he talks a lot about, you know, great physicists and scientists and geologists and things like that, the incredible discoveries they've made, and kind of projects into the future about the future of our understanding of the universe. So it's a great, great read.
Very cool. And of course, we've got a clip.
To be here now, alive in the 21st century and smart enough to know it, you also had to be the beneficiary of an extraordinary string of biological good fortune. Survival on Earth is a surprisingly tricky business. Of the billions and billions of species of living thing that have existed since the dawn of time, most, 99.99%, are no longer around.
And again, that's The Short History of Nearly Everything by Bill Bryson. You can get that as part of a free trial from Audible. Just go to audibletrial.com/CSR and start your free trial today.
Pipe question of the week.
And the pipe question of the week this week is a really great one, sent in to us by Garrett Mayhem through Facebook. Now, he asked a lot of great questions to us revolving around blending. And yeah, I think that in the very near future, maybe even next week as part of our first live show, we might actually take the topic of the art of blending and kind of reopen that a little bit.
Yeah, that's I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and give a deep dive. But I want to go ahead and address the question that he asked because I think it's so great.
Yeah.
Do you have a concrete idea before starting a new blend, or do you work by trial and error?
You know, it's definitely not a concrete idea. First of all, like, blending and experimenting with new tobaccos is one of the best parts of my job. I get really excited about it, but it's one of those things that takes a lot of time and it takes some patience, and I really like to do when, you know, either after hours in our store, when things are kind of quieted down, or when it's just real slow, because I like to really think, and as I smoke different bowls, I like to really kind of absorb the different characteristics I'm getting, you know, from the blend. But anyway, I digress. But to answer your question, I have kind of an idea when I go into it of what I'm trying to accomplish, I guess. So, you know, for instance, like right now I'm working on a Virginia Perique blend. I've been smoking a whole lot of Virginias with Perique lately. Big fan.
Gotcha.
And so I just, you know, kind of wanting to do something similar to that, but with some characteristics that are, you know, soft and maybe a little more naturally sweet that I would kind of enjoy.
Interesting. Do you have a name for that one yet?
I don't.
Okay, because we haven't talked about it yet on the show, but in the very near future, we need to talk about the War of the Roses that's going on.
This is true.
At the Squire. We'll save that for another episode.
This is very true. It's a hot topic at the Country Squire. But I kind of go into it thinking, you know, this is kind of what I'm shooting for, and then I just start experimenting. When you know different tobaccos have different characteristics, you might start with some different cuts of Virginia. You know, if you're working on some type of aromatic, there's, you know, several different types of toasted Cavendish you can use, or, you know, Virginias and Cavendish that have been cased or topped with some type of syrup or, you know, natural extract that are a lot of fun, cherry, vanilla, caramel, any of those things. And so you just kind of start playing with it. It depends on, you know, kind of what direction you're initially wanting to head in. The really fun part is when you get into, you know, you've got at least for me, this is kind of how I do it, but I know I've got a really fun, really, really solid like base, but I just want, there's one little thing I want to tweak.
You want to kick it up a
notch. One little thing. Bam. And there's just that one little thing. And that's when, you know, when you start just barely tweaking with the levels of, like, let's say Latakia or Oriental Tobacco or Perique, man, that can be fun because, you know, some of those tobaccos are so flavorful and are so potent that a little bit can, you know, make a really big difference. So when you find that exact right combination, man, is it awesome. Yeah. You just kind of feel like you're on top of the world. So it's a great question. I kind of go into it, and I think most tobacconists probably would, kind of having a general idea of what they're shooting for. But, you know, other than that, a lot of it's just trial and error.
Awesome. Well, Garrett, man, thanks for that question. That's really awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Garrett. We appreciate it. We'll talk more about blending in the near future.
Absolutely.
Quick Fire with the Squire.
All right, Quick Fire with the Squire. You ready for this?
Yep, let's bring it.
All right, it's all about sidekicks today. Space sidekick, Wookiee or droid?
Wookiee. Yeah, I gotta go with the live being.
Yeah, well, we're both kind of short dudes, and a Wookiee can kind of like watch your back.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally favor a Wookiee or a droid, I would like probably, you know, look more like R2-D2.
That's the thing. If you've got R2-D2, he's like he's like a skeleton key. He can get through any door. He can hack any system.
Right.
But I mean, like if it's about to throw down, it's not like he can help you.
I want Chewbacca.
Right. Exactly. Superhero sidekick, Robin or Supergirl?
Supergirl.
You got to go with Supergirl.
Yeah.
She's actually got powers. Robin has no powers.
Yeah.
Again, we're both kind of short guys.
Yeah.
we need somebody who could kind of fill in for the...
I kind of feel like if Robin showed up to a really dangerous situation, everyone would be like, oh.
Depends on the Robin. There's been several over the years. And then last but not least, indie sidekick, Short Round or Sala?
I do not understand the question, and I will not respond to it.
All right, so the Indiana Jones trilogy, you're not familiar?
Not really, to be honest.
Oh, man. All right, so I'll answer this one then. No. So Indiana Jones had he had a couple of different sidekicks over the series of the movies. There was a young, like, maybe like a 10-year-old kid named Short Round, who followed him around in the Temple of Doom, which was not my favorite. And he was kind of a comic relief character. But Sala, who was in the first and the third movie... and helped him dig up the Ark of the Covenant, and then also helped him rescue his dad from the Nazis.
Yeah.
So Sala is definitely the go-to guy.
Yeah.
So he's definitely going to be my choice, and I'll go ahead and choose him for you as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
great quick fire questions. If you'd like to send us some quick fire questions or the pipe question of the week, be sure to email the show, csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
This listener feedback comes from, I'm going to try really hard to say this, DubSunnelJX.
That's a screen name right there.
It's a screen name. It's on iTunes, and he says, the Country Squire, the next generation, what a fantastic way to continue the story of a Mississippi icon. Country Squire Radio is a place for any pipe smoker. You cannot go wrong with Bo and JD. Their humor, quick wit, and love of the leaf will keep you entertained and on the edge of your seat.
Man, edge of your seat.
Dude, thank you very much. Very gracious.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Thank you for saying that.
And guys, we love getting this kind of feedback. We love getting your emails, your Facebook messages. And there's a lot of ways that you can send us your thoughts and feedback and questions and all that kind of stuff. Email the show, csr@podastery.com. That's podastery.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. It's a great way to get additional content. Last week, I put up a post about Cookie Monster and how Cookie Monster was actually a pipe smoker for a brief stint on Sesame Street. Kind of a little known fact. I've got a little bit of a write-up and a picture of him with his pipe sitting back in his easy chair. But anyway, little things like that, little gems come across. Just go on Facebook, search for Country Squire Radio. The profile picture is the same as the album art for the podcast that you are currently enjoying. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at The Real Bo York, and I spell my name B-E-A-U. You can follow JD at John David Cole, and the store at _ Country Squire. And don't forget, at the top of the show, we mentioned next week, we are going to be Backstage Live, so you'll actually be able to go to backstage.podastery.com, that's podastery.com, and you'll actually be able to see us here as we record live. We've got a webcam set up that you'll be able to look into the studio. There's a little bit of a chat room as well that you'll be able to contribute in. So yeah, backstage.podastery.com, 9 a.m. Tuesday, Central Time. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a blast. We hope that you guys tune in, those who are able to. And of course, those who are not, it's still you'll still be able to download the podcast every Wednesday, rain or shine or frozen weather. And we've got some frozen weather. So anyway, all right. Well, JD, man, let's go have a day.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.